You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast, where you'll look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:15pm with Stuart Beasley, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. A busy Saturday coming up as well. Six meetings in the afternoon. Newbury, Newmarket, Chester, Ripon, Cartmel and Market Raisin providing the action there. It's Haydock and Lingfield in the evening, and we'll also bring you the action from the Irish Oaks over at the Curragh. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mark. Yourself?
Yeah, very good, thank you. So much racing tomorrow, I even ran out of time on the jingle. It's a busy old day, isn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah, it seems to be the theme of things at the moment, doesn't it? I think last week with York, Newmarket, all those other good meetings on, all on a Saturday, and this weekend, of course, very, very much the same. It does make you wonder why maybe one or two of the tracks don't just move back to a Sunday, move back a day. It's still the weekend, and traditionally I think Sunday meetings are still pretty popular, and some of these meetings tomorrow are just going to get completely overlooked, which is quite a sad thing. There's not too many runners at Chester, but the quality of the handicaps at Chester is always fairly good, and they're pretty competitive races. Cartmel stage their big day of the year tomorrow as well. It's a meeting that I've actually called over the last couple of seasons. They stage a very valuable hurdle race, a £26,000 hurdle race. They also stage the most valuable lady riders hurdle race of the entire year. And tomorrow, although there'll be a huge crowd at Cartmel, there's a huge crowd at Cartmel on a Monday.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those meetings, I think, which might just get a little bit overlooked tomorrow, which I think is a sad thing, when on a Sunday, where this weekend we've got the likes of Newton Abbott, where there isn't a great deal, Redcar and Stratford, yeah, it would make it a busier Sunday, but I think it'd be equally as popular, and it would just give it a little bit more time in the spotlight. It just seems to be like Ripon as well tomorrow. I think, although it's part of the Go Racing and Yorkshire Summer Festival, which does get underway tomorrow, among all the racing that's on, six meetings in the afternoon, a couple of meetings are going to suffer a little bit. They're going to get lost.
Yeah, it's you see in other countries that they utilise Sunday racing much better than we do in the UK. I think it's something that could be looked at. And you mentioned Cartmel there. They became the last racecourse to race on a Sunday a few weeks ago, didn't they? So maybe it is something they would look at in the future.
Very possibly, yeah. I mean, they'll still get a great crowd tomorrow. I think this meeting gets around about 10 or 11,000 on the Saturday, and they race again on the Monday. But as we saw the other week, they did a Friday, Sunday. They've always got to have a day in between Cartmel to clear up the mess from the first day. It does take a little bit of organising there. A lot of the things going on there, of course, the structure is all temporary. But, yeah, generally, I just think one or two of these meetings could possibly be put back to the Sunday. It'd make for a real action-packed Sunday. And all around a real good weekend of racing overall, as opposed to everything just bunged into one on the Saturday. A lot of the good stuff still getting overlooked, and then a quieter day on the Sunday where the racing perhaps isn't so interesting. I think that Cartmel race, that 25 grand hurdle, would be a cracking race on a Sunday afternoon.
It'd be Sunday's feature, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. Yeah. So, yeah, like you say, though, they trialled it earlier on in the season, and I think it proved to be fairly popular and successful as well, so maybe it'll be something they look at in the future. But as you say, we're mid-summer, mid-season, and there's just so much racing to get your teeth stuck into. This is why I go away this time. It's just too much to keep on top of.
Some people would look at the flip side and say, look at how much great racing we've got.
But
and that's the way we'll go. We'll go with that. Yeah, look how much great racing we've got. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing in a moment or two. But before we get to that, just a little bit of news. The jockey's title has been in the news for the last few days now. Sylvester D'Souza, long time been favourite for it. Well, a few weeks now. And he went top yesterday, actually, numerically as well. So he's riding on the real crest of a wave at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, certain shrewdies were putting him up right at the start of the season, saying he could be a real sort of outside bet who could really figure. And then as the weeks and months have progressed, he's been banging in the winners left, right and centre. Of course, he rides an awful lot for Mark Johnston, who's having a fabulous season as well. I'm sure that's helped quite a bit. And ultimately, he's been right up there. And now, of course, with the Ryan Moore injury seemingly taking its toll for a little while ahead. I think he came out as quoting yesterday, feels like he's been in a car crash. He's that battered and bruised. All of a sudden, Silvestre de Souza finds himself at Leicester yesterday, taking the lead from him. And you'd imagine with the... I was having a bit of a discussion in the studio yesterday with Pimmers. I think we've had an all right summer, and the ground has been generally pretty quick everywhere. We've had no real bogs anywhere over the summer, which is fairly surprising. Usually by the time we've got to July, we've had a couple of meetings which have really been running in soggy ground. We've hardly had any of that so far this summer, and the Mark Johnston horses, as we know, they all act on this rattling fast ground. A lot of them have got American breeding, which obviously is a factor there, and Silvestre de Souza is riding an awful lot of them, and he's getting so many winners, and there's, with the weather as it is, plenty of reason to believe that these Mark Johnston horses are going to continue to fire. Silvestre de Souza is going to continue to ride them in brilliant ways and come home in front on many more winners. And obviously with Ryan Moore out and unable to retaliate, Silvestre de Souza, if you were on him at good prices at the start of the season, then you're looking, I think, now at a pretty nice sort of bet, because I know he's odds on now.
Yeah, 1-2.
Yeah, and obviously with him riding all these winners, his confidence must be absolutely sky high. And it's not, I mean, I know you've got to get the opportunities, but ultimately he's given these horses very, very good rides, a lot of them as well. And he's certainly the one I'd want to be with at the moment.
Okay, 1-2 at the top of the market. The betting has changed quite a bit over the last couple of days. Richard Hughes, 5-1 second favourite, although he's mentioned that he's going to be going to the sales more than concentrating on riding towards the back end of the year. James Doyle's 8s, Ryan Moore was 10s, that proved to be too big, he's now 8-1. Paul Hannigan was 7s, he's out to 10s. William Buick 10s and Graham Lee 25s.
Yeah, it's sort of fallen into Sylvester's hands a little bit, hasn't it? But he's sort of taking the opportunity, he's really grasping the opportunity, and rightly so. And I'm sure it'll be, I mean, he'll be fully aware that he's now the jockey who's ridden the most winners this summer. It must be in the back of my mind, God, I could be champion jockey at the end of this season. And he deserves it as well, because he's been, I think, very underrated in the last few years. He's always been very, very good. But as you said to me off air, Mark, getting the opportunities is key. And Silvestre de Souza is getting these opportunities, and he's really banging them in.
Yeah, it would be a nice story for him to win it as well, because he went so close a few years ago.
Yeah,
and then he moved to Godolphin. It didn't quite work out. He had a few problems there. He's confident again now. He's riding back as he was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And it'd be good to. It'd be a nice story.
Yeah.
Anything else caught your eye in the news? Because apart from that, it's relatively quiet at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of racing on, but not necessarily a whole host of big stories of late. There's so much on, but a lot of it is pretty wishy-washy stuff, and there's nothing big coming out apart from at the weekends. It's probably part of the problem, really. But no, we've got plenty to look forward to over this weekend, and of course we're building up to the glorious Goodwood meeting, which isn't too far away, and the York Ebor meeting will be just around the corner as well. So plenty of really good stuff to come over the coming weeks.
Yeah, we're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing now. Gareth's got 4 races for us. Before we get stuck into that, though, just a quick... just a mention, really. We must mention it. It's the Irish Oaks on Saturday as well. A classic that, if we didn't mention it, it'd be criminal, really. Curvy 2-1 at the top of the betting for that. Words 3-1. 7s for Cover Love. Qualify is 7s as well. 8s for Jack Naylor. And 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. We will be hearing from William Hill's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding, on Saturday morning as well. He'll look ahead to that card for us. But do you have an opinion there? Curvy's banging form at the moment, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She's won all her starts so far this season. David Watchman trains these fillies absolutely brilliantly as well. Wayne Lorden's riding really well. And Curvy comes into the race with a real solid-looking profile. And I think she's going to be sent off as one of the market leaders, if not the outright market leader. And ultimately could well take the beating. Qualify, of course, won Our Oaks at Epsom. She caused a real upset that day, just getting the better of Legartissimo, and she was sent off as the complete rank outsider. She was unable to match that sort of effort last time out, but was taking on the boys as well, so she'll be back more at home, I think, against her own sex. And Words down at the bottom is another interesting contender for Aidan O'Brien, as is Together Forever. So, yeah, a really good renewal, I think, of the Darley Irish Oaks. We've got several fillies coming into the race really on a roll. Curvy, the most likely of those fillies, I think, on what I've seen so far of her, too. I think she'll take the beating, but it's a good race.
Yeah, I was looking, just reading some quotes as well from Wayne Lorden, who obviously will ride Curvy now. He wouldn't have had the chance should Ryan Moore have been fit. Ryan Moore rode her Royal Ascot because of his agreement with Ballydoyle. So it'd be Nice moment for him to shine, wasn't it? Because he's having a good season as well, like you mentioned, Wayne Loudon. So.
Absolutely, yeah. He was in good form at Leopardstown back last night. A good card there. And as we said earlier, it's all about getting these opportunities. And when these opportunities shine, I mean, it's not ideal for it to be in such unfortunate circumstances for Ryan Moore. But when these opportunities come along, you've got to take them really on board and grasp them with both hands. And Wayne Loudon's got an excellent chance of really being in the spotlight this Sunday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, even.
Let's look at Saturday's racing then. Gareth's got four races, as I mentioned. We'll get his best bets on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look ahead to the action at Newmarket, Newbury and Market Raisin as well, Gareth. A bit of jumping in there for you. You must have... It's a good race as well on Saturday. You must have missed some of the good stuff.
It is the big race of the summer over Jump. So it would have been... Well, I wouldn't have agreed to do this podcast if we hadn't covered it. It would have been absolutely criminal. It's a cracking renewal of the summer plate. Really looking forward to it. A good card, actually, at Market Raisin all in all. But it always is. And I think they're going to have the weather as well. They plug it as Ladies' Day. So there'll be a massive crowd. And yeah, it's going to be good.
Mm. We'll move on to that in due course. The first race we'll look at, though, is the 2:15 at Newmarket. This one is the Newcastle Park Stud Stakes. It was the Aphrodite Stakes. It's a fillies listed race over a mile and a half. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 9 here, Gareth, and some nice fillies in there.
Yeah, there are. Dream Child is the one that I quite like, and I think is going to be the one that the punter's eyes are drawn to, perhaps first and foremost. She actually beat Persona Grata, who is a very useful filly, at Deauville back last time out. That was on the all-weather some 3 weeks ago. She's equally effective, I think, on turf as she is on the all-weather, where she has registered a couple of pretty impressive successes. The time before last, she was second to a very useful and I think underrated performer called Mutatis Mutandis, who tends to pop up at big prices every now and then in good races as well. And it was no disgrace going down half a length to her. So I think Dream Child is going to be the one to beat for Charlie Appleby Godolphin. James Doyle, he's forming an excellent partnership with the Boys in Blue. So I think generally Dream Child, she's very, very consistent. And I do like these fillies and mares in form. I think she's going to take the beating. Arabian Comet, I thought, could be a danger. She was a filly I saw back last season at Doncaster when she ran in the Park Hill Stakes behind a runaway winner in Silk Sari, who then, of course, went on to run a really big race at the Champions meeting at Ascot. She's returned some 70 days ago with a fair third. That would have put her probably spot on, would have just blown away the cobweb, so I'm expecting better from her. And she does stay well as well, does Arabian Comet, as does Chesil Beach, who's taking quite a marked step up in class, but ultimately she does stay well. She'll be suited by a strongly run race, so hopefully she'll get that here, and I think she could outrun her likely big odds for a very informed team in the shape of Andrew Balding's yard. So yeah, it's an interesting race. I'm not sure Compton Bird will run because she ran at Epsom on Thursday in a handicap event which she'd won the year before, so it'll be interesting to see whether she takes the quick reappearance and the massive step up in class. But yeah, I think Dream Child will be the one to beat Arabian Comet and Chesil Beach as the main threats.
Great. Dream Child for Gareth. In the 2:15 at Newmarket, we move to Newbury next for their 2:35. This is the JLT Stakes, which was the Stevenson Stakes. This is a listed race over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 8 here. We do have betting on site as well, so I'll just relay that. Consort is the 11-10 favourite, 7-2 for Intilark, Firefighting 11-2, 13-2 for Musterdeem, and 12s or bigger for the others. We'll start here with the market leader, Gareth, Consort, who has won two of his three starts. Good third behind Glen Eagles in the St James's Palace Stakes last time as well. That form sets the standard, really, doesn't it?
It does. In this listed race now, he's been dropped right back down in class, and it was interesting because at Royal Ascot we had, of course, Ken Pitterson trackside, and he really fancied this Consort. Ken had seen him on each of his two occasions where he'd won. He'd managed to win his maiden, then he won really impressively a day I actually was working in here at Sandown, where he looked still a little bit all of sea with the game, but he powered home once he really got the message, and that was impressive. And ultimately it must have impressed Connections as well, because they thought next stop, instead of taking him to something like another jersey or something like that. They thought we'd pitch him in against the Guineas winner, Glen Eagles, in the St. James's Palace. And he ran a good race. It was a race where there weren't too many runners. He sort of had to make his own running, which might have actually been by design to try and run the finish out of the others. He just got touched off in at the closing stages. Glen Eagles, OK, he powered away and won well. Consort was probably a little unlucky not to finish second. He probably just paid for setting that pace and he got mugged for second place. But it was a really good run, particularly in the context of this. I mean, he's coming up against horses like Interlark, who, yeah, has proved OK so far, is a winner, but hasn't shown the level of form that Consort has. And then we're looking at horses such as Firefighting, who, let's face it, is a solid handicapper. He won the Zetland Gold Cup. He ran behind James Millman's father's runner the other day, a Master Carpenter at York in the John Smith's Cup. But ultimately, this will prove a step up in class. Although he's a pretty solid horse, Firefighting, he's probably likely to set the pace here. And then other horses like Tullius, who's probably out of his comfort zone over a mile and a quarter, fifth of five in the Eclipse last time out, completely outclassed, generally is a pretty decent miler, but maybe this mile and a quarter will stretch him a bit. Consort is stepping up here to a mile and a quarter, but he just gives the impression he's the one horse in this race with a real touch of class, and I'll take him to justify those short odds with Frankie Dettori on board. I just like the fact he was really highly tried. Sir Michael Stout knows what he's doing, and he pitched him in against the big time last time out. It didn't quite come off, but he still wasn't disgraced in finishing third.
Okay, Consort then to win the JLT Stakes. The Three Tannat Newbury is where we go next. This one is the Hackwood Stakes, a Group 3 contest over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Again, we have betting on site, and Portamento is the 15-8 favourite, 7-2 for Ailis and Watchable. Strathburn is 11-2, 9-1 for Musical Comedy, and Divine is the 12-1 outsider. Only 6 of them in the lineup here, Gareth. Who comes home in front?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little unoriginal again and side with Portamento, who was a winner at Chester last time out. I just wonder how far Chester form actually travels. It is its sort of own place, isn't it, Chester? But ultimately, he won that race really well a week ago. He's up in class today, but then again, a few of these are. Ailis comes into the race with past pattern race form. He managed to win the Chip Chase Stakes at Newcastle last time out. That's often a very decent sprint race, and he won that well enough. But he does have to give weight all round to the others. Strathburn, he was a winner of a Doncaster Maiden, perhaps a shade snugly last time out, but this is going to represent a big, big step up in class. He could well be up to it, but for me, he's got a little bit to prove. So I'm going to take a chance with Portamento in receipt of the weight from Ailis, and those are my idea of the 1-2.
And on to the final race we look at, which is the 3:30 at Market Race, and this is the Summer Plate, a listed handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Betting looks like this. It's a gimme and Pumped Up Kicks are both 7-1 joint favourites at the top of the market. Dalarka is 9-1 with Valco de Tuzan, 10-1 for Champion Court, Baby Mix 11s, 12s for Carrigmore, King and Perfect Timing. Greenlaw, another one at 12s and 14s or bigger for the others. We'll start with It's a Gimme here, last year's winner, higher in the weights this time round, of course, but arrives here in decent enough nick, and it's Barry Geraghty's first ride as a retained rider for John Joe Neal. Sorry, for JP McManus in Britain, so it could be significant as well.
It could be significant, and I think when It's a Gimme won this race last year, it was a significant winner for Tony McCoy. Can't quite remember why. He's rewritten so many record books, hasn't he, AP? But it was a pretty significant winner for AP, and it came off. And we know damn well that John Joe Neal is excellent at getting these horses spot on for the big day in these big handicaps. It's a Gimme returned to action some 49 days ago, ran a fair second. That would have just about blown away the cobwebs, and I'm sure he'll be spot on for tomorrow's contest. He's got a little bit more weight than last year, but again, it'd be a great story if Barry Geraghty can get him home. He did have to work hard to win this race 12 months ago, It's a Gimme, so maybe a repeat will be on the cards. But I think this whole scene with Barry Geraghty as now the retained rider for JP McManus, this horse, there is a danger he could be very, very heavily punted on the day, which might just make him a little bit short. In against him, you mentioned Champion Court, who is hunting a hat-trick of wins. He seems a rejuvenated character at the age of 10. He won a really good hurdle race, probably Worcester's big race of the year last time out. He managed to win that, and of course he escapes all of the penalties for that race, seeing as it was a hurdle race. He still has to carry top weight, but as he's shown in years gone by, he's a very classy sort, and he clearly still does retain plenty of that ability. Pumped Up Kicks comes into the race as a slightly less experienced chaser, but did win at Cheltenham back in April. That was a novice event, did that job really well. Didn't really prove a great deal other than a well-being when scoring at Warwick the time after that in just a three-runner affair, which I thought she was entitled to win. Dan Skelton, I think he could be champion trainer in a season not too far away. I think he's very, very good. And Pumped Up Kicks, this mare, is in form, and I do like in form mares, so I think really over It's a Gimme she appeals, and I think she might just go off at a slightly bigger price than It's a Gimme on the day. Of the others, I can tell I've been away because I didn't know Del Arca was a chaser, so that one's pitched in. I believe this one managed to win last time out. I think it might have been at Utoxet. I don't think it jumped very well though, so this is going to come as a bit of a shell shock, I think, for Del Arca, but is a horse with plenty of back class over hurdles. Greenlaw, the one down at the bottom, he's the one that appeals. He's a horse I saw win at Wetherby back in the winter months. He snatched victory from the jaws of defeat that day. He looked beaten coming to the final fence, but he rallied really well. He's got a very good attitude, Greenlaw, and whilst this represents a huge step up in class for him, Charlie Longsdon's an excellent trainer. He gets in off just 10 stone 4, and he's more honest than a few of his classier rivals in this, so maybe he'll be one for the each way punters. But Pumped Up Kicks is my idea of the winner of this year's summer plate for Dan and Harry Skelton. But it's a cracking race.
It is. Pumped Up Kicks then for Gareth there. You mentioned at the start of that little preview you did there, it was a significant day for AP, but you couldn't remember why. It was the day he surpassed Martin Pipe's record of 4,192 career wins.
Right, okay, yeah. I knew there was a reason behind it, but yeah, I just couldn't remember why. So yeah. So again, maybe It's a Gimme can provide another significant win.
Yeah, it would be a bit of a story there, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah. But very, very competitive race, and it does take some winning this summer plate as well. Those fences, they do come up quick at Market Race, and it's often a race where you get a lot of drama. It's a big field. They're going to go lickety-split. It's going to be some spectacle.
Should be a good day. As always, let's just have a quick summary, Gareth, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Okay, well, my Nap actually runs at the Curragh. That's Mecca's Angel in the 5.15. of the races we've had a look at, I quite like the look of, in the 2.15 at Newmarket, Dream Child. I just think she's a real model of consistency, and she'll be able to give the weight away. In the 2.35 at Newbury, I'm going to side with Consort. In the 3.10 at Newbury, I'm going to side with Portamento to beat Aeolus. And in the summer plate, I'm going to take a chance with the mare Pumped Up Kicks, that 3.30 race, the summer plate.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Gareth.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck and enjoy it on Saturday. So there you go, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:15 PM with Stuart Beasley, Andy Holding and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Newbury, Newmarket, Chester, Ripon, Cartmel and Market Race and fill the afternoon lineup. Haydock and Lingfield in the evening, and it's also Irish Oaks Day at the Curragh, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.